Ephesians in chapter number 4. Ephesians in chapter number 4. And we're not talking about just being crazy. We're just talking about going and presenting the gospel. And that's not crazy, all right? We don't want to be foolish, right? But at the same time, there shouldn't be things in this life that are keeping us from getting the gospel out, right? If we have something in this life that is keeping us from getting the gospel out here and around the world, then it needs to be cut off and got rid of. It really honestly ought to, that God might be able to just say, hey, I want to separate you. I want to take you over here. Present the gospel and preach the gospel. And you know, Brother Ray said this before to me. He said, if I had 20 preachers, he said, I could use 20 preachers right now. Just people that could actually open the Bible and teach. Not even be. He's like, I need great preachers. I need somebody that could just teach the Bible. He said, I could put them to work right now, discipling people. And so pray for him. They're actually using Zoom as a mode of getting the gospel to two different cities right now that are one's 9 hours away and one's 10 hours away, where they've led people to the Lord and their pockets of believers there. They don't have any pastors. They don't have any trained men. And he's in the process of training men to go there. But it just takes time. All right. Here we are, Ephesians in chapter number 4. And look at the last two verses, verse number 31 and verse number 32. It says this, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Now, I know this is our Wednesday night crowd, and nobody in here would have any clue what any of those words even mean, right? But this is what he says. He said, you're going to take all of those things and let them be put away from you with all malice, all right? And then he says this, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so while I know this is the Wednesday night crowd, and preacher, we know all about being tender hearted, forgiving and kind. I mean, we know all about that. Let's be reminded, Paul's speaking these words to the church of Ephesus. All right, he's talking to a group of believers, and he's saying, listen, these things need to be put away from you, and these things need to be added unto you. And so we've been discussing the idea and the need of dealing with the emotional pain that we can build up in our lives. And we've given that picture, kind of the reservoir, and as hardships and difficulties happen in our lives, they have a tendency to build up and to grow and to get out of control. And we looked in the life of David. You stop and say, no, not in my life. If King David, the giant slayer, dealt with the problems that he did, and we've read those in the book of Psalms about anger and not understanding why people had done him wrong and how he was mistreated and all the things that happened. If David dealt with a little bit of what we might call in our day depression and discouragement, and if he dealt with emotional pain, then friend, guess what? Probably you do as well, whether you want to admit it or not. And dealing with pain, it must be dealt with properly. Many times people will deal with it in a wrong way, and they'll pick up habits. They'll pick up addictions that will cause them to deal with their pain in a sinful manner as opposed to a biblical manner. And God's the reality that we talked about this last week. Jesus Christ is the only real way of dealing with the emotional pain that you have. You're not going to deal with the emotional, the pain, the discouragement, the depression, the anxiety, the hurt, the anger. You're not going to deal with that any other way than through Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is absolutely the answer. And he has given his word to us. And I'm not going to go and re-preach all this, but he's given us his word that he might cleanse us. We're to be washed with the water of the word. And God wants to cleanse us. And God wants to take the stains that are in your life, and not the stains that are even caused. Some of those stains I have in my life, they're all my fault, right? If I get a stain on my shirt, it's my fault, right? But then I've also had people stain me, right? I've had people, and trying to explain that to your wife is really hard. Like, I didn't do it. The kid put his hand on my pants, right? How am I supposed to stop that, you know? But sometimes the things that are the emotional pain to us are what other people have inflicted on us. And probably those are the hardest things to deal with are the things that are actually inflicted on us. The things that we do, we bear guilt over. That needs to be dealt with. But the things that happen to us, we have a tendency to have the ideas that are brought forth here in verse number 31. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. We have a tendency to allow those things to cause a buildup of emotional pain in our life that must needs be dealt with. And the sources that God gave us to deal with it are His Word and prayer. His Word and prayer, and both, we looked at this last week, both are cleansing methods for the life of the believer, that God wants to cleanse your life by His Word and through communication with Him. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to communicate with Him. That this religious world has figured that out, and religion has made a success at getting you to go and confessing your sins to priests and to preachers. Friend, listen to me. I'm willing to talk with you. I'm willing to sit down with you. I cannot absolve your sin or take away your burden, but Christ can. Christ absolutely can. And I've encouraged you, if you're at a point where, say, I just hurt, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I don't know how to get over it, you need to get into the Word of God. Start reading the Psalms. Certainly, there's some psalm that you could read that would help you to be able to emote how you feel. That's one of the great things about, man, David, a man after God's own heart, and read how he emotes in the Word of God. And he does it not to you and I. God preserved it for you and I that we might be able to read it. He did it to God. He emoted his pain and his hurt and his anxiety and his feeling to God. And then this is the great thing in the Psalms that we were able to see, that God had answers for him. God had real answers for David and for the pain and the hurt that he had. And so we need to discover how to get answers from God. If we're going to really get answers for the pain that we have, and we've already discovered this, it's going to be through Christ. It's going to be through Christ, His Word, and through prayer. And tonight we're going to look at another avenue. How do I get the pain that has been dealt me, the hurts that have been dealt me? How do I get them taken care of? And we find some answers right here in the verses that we have been that we've read. Let's read them again, and then we'll get into some more of the meat of our lesson tonight. But it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another." And this is part that you need to highlight, circle, and underline. "Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." So I don't want to be angry anymore. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to feel this way, but it's not my fault I feel this way. It's what others have done to me that have caused me to feel this way. And so here's the answer. Here's the answer. Forgiveness. Forgiveness through Christ. I'm not saying that's an easy road. Don't just like, oh, all right, great. Let's pack up and leave. You've got all the answers. No. That's a very difficult thing. But it is the answer. It is the answer. Forgiveness through Christ. And so God desires for us to learn how to forgive. He desires for us to be able to express forgiveness to the pains and the hurts and even to those who have hurt us. He desires to express, for us to learn how to express forgiveness. And this is what he says. It's going to take you making a choice to put these things away from you. You're going to make a choice to put them away from you. And that I looked at that word, to put away, the idea of what does it mean to put something away? It's like, just got my groceries home and now I'm going to put them on the shelves. The word, by definition, it means to sail away. That means what it means. It means to sail away, to weigh anchor, literally what the word means. You can look it up, the definition for yourself. To put away means to weigh anchor, to sail. Like, I mean, hey, we've unloaded the ship, and now we've weighed anchor, and we're leaving that on the land, and we're heading to the South Seas, right? We're loosing it. We're removing it. As I was reading, I got this idea. You've got to start taking out the trash out of your life. You've got to do that. If you're going to put things away from you, you're going to have to start taking them out of your life, setting them aside, and leaving them with the Lord. That's why the Word of God tells us in 1 Peter in chapter number 5 to cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He cares for you. And we talked about that last week. You get in yoke with the Lord, His burden is easy and light. Doesn't mean that it never happened. Doesn't mean that it just automatically disappears. Never was. That's not what it happens. But this happens, that when God's in the yoke with you, it's easy and light on you. And God can bear the things that you cannot. And so He wants these things to be put away from His life. The things listed there in verse number 31 are sinful responses. There are sinful responses to the rejection. We talked about that over the last couple of weeks. The rejection that we experience in life when people sin against us, and when people will do things against us. And even, listen, even when we reject God, right? When you sin, and you have, and you will, you've rejected God. And so it allows there to be this emotional pain, and there is a sinful response. How many times have you been arguing, right, with someone and realized that they're right, and yet you're not going to let them win the argument? I mean, that's not evil speaking at all, is it? Come on. Listen. We sin too. And we bear the weight of that, and we have a sinful response. And when someone is wronged by someone, listen, they have a choice. You have a choice whether or not you're going to handle it right, or whether or not you're going to handle it wrong. But here's the reality. Even a lost person can do things right. Even a lost person can do things right. It's even greater than just doing things right and wrong. It is literally getting to the point that where am I going to put off my old man, my sinful flesh, the way I want to respond, and am I going to respond correctly? Am I going to respond right? Am I going to respond spiritually? As we look at Ephesians in chapter 4, if you go back up to verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful flesh, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Paul is trying to help us to understand that we have got to start making spiritual choices, and choices that would be of the desire of God for our life. God has called us to respond in a spiritual way as opposed to a fleshly way. That's how He's called us to respond. And even when things happen to us as children of God, we have to understand that we need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in how we respond, and make sure that we are not responding in our flesh. It's important that we would do that. When we consider these things that He's talking about here, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, and malice, just by simple definition, you say, well, what exactly is bitterness? It is holding a grudge against someone because of a real perceived offense. A real perceived offense. And you say, well, you're saying it's not real? No, I'm not saying that the bitterness that somebody feels isn't for something that really happened, but it's a reality that one can be bitter at someone else, or at a circumstance, or at a group of people, and that it have nothing to do with reality whatsoever. No, it is potential that it is something that really happened to you, but it could be just your perception, and I'm never talking to them again because of what they did. And then you found out 20, 30 years later, oh, you didn't do that? And then you haven't had a relationship with them that whole time. Oh, that wasn't you that did that? There was someone else? And they had no more clue why you weren't talking to them or why you were angry at them any more than you really did. Because it was just something that you thought. And we're told that in Hebrew, in Hebrews, I'm sorry, that bitterness is the root, is a root of sin that results in the failing of the grace of God. Someone gets to a point to where they are just angry and bitter, and they don't even want to have anything to do with people in church anymore. They don't want to have anything to do with children of God. I don't want to have anything to do with Christians. Have you seen the way Christians act? Right? They fail of the grace of God. James talks about bitterness as the result of pride. The result of pride. Wrath. Wrath is anger with a desire to avenge yourself. Right? You're going to get even. And that's what wrath is. And we're told repeatedly in the New Testament that vengeance belongs to who? It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to God. And we decide, though, that we're going to go and seek our own justice. Like, I'm gonna take matters into my own hands, and I'm gonna find my own justice. That's wrath. Anger is feeling rage against others who have hurt us or broken our expectations. That's a dangerous thing. And we're always, I know I've preached a couple times now through a series about expectations, just stemming from Psalm 62 and verse number 5, and that our expectation is to be from God. From God, not of God. Not of God. People get angry at God and angry with God for what God didn't do, and God didn't meet my expectation, and God allowed my expectations to be broken and dashed. And listen, friend, we can have expectations from God when they come from His Word. We can have this expectation, right? That all things work together for good. You can have that expectation. All things work together for good for them that what? That love God and that are called according to His purpose. God is able to take any circumstance. If you love God and you're called according to His purpose in your life, He's able to take any circumstance and make good out of it. And you can stop and say, I just don't see how God could do that. Then listen, you might have a faith issue right now, because God promises that He can. And you can expect that He will. If you'll do right, He can make good out of it. He can. You say, well, I have people that have hurt me and done wrong. Well, listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do you understand the expectation that you could have for all mankind, including your spouse, including your kids? This is just a guaranteed expectation, including your boss, including the person that cut you off in traffic this morning, that they will sin. They will sin. I was driving yesterday, and I was coming up on this blinky light, and so I just kind of slowed down. I was in a new area. I didn't know what was going on. I was coming around the curve. I saw a blinky light, and I came around, and I saw that the other lanes of traffic both had stop signs, and they were to yield to me. And so I slowed down, and then I sped back up. While I slowed down, the car that was at the stop sign decided it was his turn to go. And man, I don't know how we missed each other other than the Lord. You know, sometimes people get out of their lane, right? It can cause us to have some anger. And man, I didn't expect that, right? I didn't expect that they just decide that I was supposed to stop when I didn't have a stop sign. Could have caused a big accident. But listen, my expectations need to be from God, not of God and of other people. People, you can have this expectation, will sin. My kids, they're going to sin. Why? Because they were born with the same nature that their dad has. It's a sinful nature, and they're going to do that. Clamor. Clamor, this is repeated loud outbursts of complaint. Clamor. Never letting things go. Bringing them up again and again and again. Say, yeah, I know somebody like that. I live with somebody like that. Yeah, clamor. There's a lot of people that have clamor in their life. They never do ever get over the hurt in their life. It is always coming up over and over and over again. And you heard about the guy that went into the counseling room and he says, Pastor, I have a problem. My wife, when she gets angry, she gets historical. And he says, you mean hysterical? He says, no, she gets historical. And she brings up everything I've ever done wrong. You say, No, that's clamor. That's what it is. By definition, that is what it is. And you can't say that doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me, and I forgive you, but I'm bringing it up in the next conversation we have when I'm upset. Well, why? Because you have clamor in your life. Evil speaking, talking bad about others. For many people, this is a sinful habit that robs them of a close relationship with God. You say, what do you mean it robs me of a close relationship with God? Because I can't truly love God if I don't love you. And God said, do good to your enemies and do good. So, I mean, if all we have to do is I've never got anything bad. And we got to be careful. Every one of us got to be careful. Evil speaking can come out of our mouths. And then malice. Malice is anger with an intended desire to hurt others. It goes on beyond just being angry. I mean, malice is to the point to where I am plotting the revenge of what they have done unto me. And we have surpassed wrath and we are getting even. That's malice. And God calls on his children to put off these sinful characteristics and to replace them with attributes that would be spiritual. He wants us to put these things out of our life and replace them with things that will help us. And he says that in Ephesians 4. Romans in chapter 13 and verse 14, it says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. He wants us to put on Christ. He wants us to take off the old man and put on the new. Acts 11 and verse 26, it says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And the hymn there is Paul. All right. Paul and Barnabas assembled there with the church. And they taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, why? Why did they call them Christians? Because they were is a term of endearment. No, it was not a term of endearment. But friend, listen to me. What makes someone a Christian? Yes, is a time when they know Christ and they have started a relationship with Christ. They've asked God to forgive them of their sins. They've repented of their sins, if you will, and they've turned to God and they've accepted His forgiveness. But listen, these people had done that, and it was a year later that then they were beginning to call them Christians because it means that they were Christ-like. There was something different about these people than what they used to be. When Christ was on the earth, even the disciples stood back and wondered, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves. I mean, he does things different than everybody else does them. He does them in a different way than everybody else does them. I mean, there's nobody like this guy, Jesus. And here we see that they were called Christians first at Antioch. It had to do with the behavior of being Christ-like, that they were not given to their old nature any longer. They weren't given to their old feelings, their old desires, and the old way in which they enacted with other people in their life. But now they were given unto the divine nature that dwelt within them. And the divine nature that was supposed to be governing them. We understand this when Christ took up residency in my life at the time of my salvation. It was not just because he needed somewhere to hang out. Yeah. No, it's because he wanted to get in us and that through us, he might get out of us and onto other people. He wants to be his spirit to be a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. And that life of God that's in you, he wants that to continually be getting out. That people are looking at your life and looking at my life. And they're looking at the way we respond and the way we react and the way we do things. And they're going to be amazed that, my goodness, there's something different about them. There's absolutely something different about them. As Christ taught the Beatitudes on the Sermon on the Mount, He taught the divine that we are having a divine ways in which we are now to act, in which we are to be. We're human beings. We're human beings, not human doings. And a lot of people are like, I got to do this, I got to do that. And if I do all these things, then I'm a Christian. No, no, no. Christ said, no, I want you to be. I want you to be poor in spirit. That's who you're to be. That's not an act we're putting on in certain circumstances so that we can look godly. That's who we're supposed to be because we are now godly. No, no, no. Because now we have the divine nature of God living in us. This is who we're supposed to be. And so you say, well, that's not who I am. I'm not poor in spirit. I'm high-spirited. No, 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 listen. Listen, if that's not who you are, then this is a reality that God wants to change you from the inside out, that you would be what He desires for you to be. And the way He does that is by you choosing to yield to His spirit as opposed to your sinful flesh. Yeah. That's how He does it. That's how He makes the change. And you say, you just don't know how bad I've been treated. You don't know how hurt I am. I probably don't, but I do know a God that is, again, like we looked at last week, been tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. I do know that God. That is my Savior. And He absolutely does know. And He's asking you to choose. He's asking you to choose. In verse number 32 of our text in Ephesians 4, you say, what is He asking me to choose? Well, He's asking you to not act with anger and wrath and malice and clamor and bitterness. But He's asking you to do this, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And you say, it's impossible. I can't be kind to that individual. I can't be tenderhearted to my spouse. Are you kidding me? Have you talked to them? Yep. When we look at these three characteristics that He wants us to rather to act in rather than the fleshly way that men desire to act, kindness. This represents the acts of goodwill. It represents the act of goodwill to promote the happiness and the welfare of others. That's what kindness is. You're promoting the happiness and the welfare of others, and it is the response towards those around us, not necessarily limited to those that have hurt us. But if you have been hurt, we must make sure that I do not perpetuate the hurt that has been given to me back to others. We talked about this. Come on, we've been building on these things all along. We talked about this again last week. Hurt people what? Hurt people. And God says, I want you, instead of being hurt, I want you to accept my forgiveness. And when you've accepted my forgiveness, now I want you to extend my forgiveness. That's such a hard thing, isn't it? Yeah. To look at the people that have hurt us, have caused us pain, have caused us to lose a little sleep, have caused us to where we have memories on our mind that we're never getting rid of. We have hurt in our life. We think, man, it can never be taken care of. I have scars that will never go away because of that individual. And then to consider the fact that God actually extends His forgiveness to them. And you might sit here and shake your head and wonder why in the world He extended His forgiveness to them. But it was the literal simple answer is because He extended His forgiveness to you and to all mankind. He extended His forgiveness to all, to whosoever. So He extended His forgiveness to. And so God wants you to show kindness. He wants us to be tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. This doesn't mean, men, that He wants you to be a sissy. But He wants you to be sensitive in your heart. This is showing love to another by considering their situation. I mean, how many times do we get angry? I'm just speaking for myself. I get upset. I get angry. I get I'm angry because I didn't get my way. I'm upset because I didn't get my way. I'm upset because they're not yielding to me, and I don't consider the other individual at all. I don't consider them at all. Tenderheartedness looks to the situation of another and considers their situation. This applies to those who have hurt us as well as anyone else, that we would be tenderhearted toward their situation. I'm not trying to diminish any sin at all, and I think probably sins of a sexual nature are probably some of the most deepest emotional scars that anybody could ever receive. I absolutely believe that. But you realize the reality of the recidivism rate among sexual assaults? And what I'm saying is those who commit sexual assaults are usually ones that had the same thing perpetrated on them, and they're a hurt individual that's hurting. I'm not giving anybody any grace on that at all. Don't get me wrong. But that's a reality. And sometimes it might be good that we would have a tender heart in some ways to consider that was a hurt person that went and hurt another person. And the problem is if someone doesn't reach them with Christ, that hurt is just going to continue going on from one generation to the next generation. And I'm telling you, we have a sickening, disgusting mess in our nation today with human trafficking, with rape, with pedophilia. I mean, it's disgusting. Just disgusting. But I'm telling you, it's something that's perpetually been building and building and building. We just didn't show up here all of a sudden in 2022 where we just have this epidemic of immorality of people forcing themselves on other people. We didn't just show up here. It's been something that's been building. And so many times, maybe we might want to stop and have a tender heart. A tender heart. Forgiving. This is to extend God's love toward those who have hurt us. Someone's hurt me. Someone has wronged me. And I'm going to show them the same love that God showed me. Because why? Because I've rejected God. When I sin, I've rejected God. I've turned away from God's will. I've shunned God's way. And I've rejected God. And God forgave me. And so whether or not they receive the forgiveness of God or not, I'm going to extend to them the forgiveness that God has extended to me. Listen, that is not the easiest thing to do. I'm not saying these things and going, and listen, you need to snap your fingers, turn around three times, and say three Hail Marys, and then everything will be right, and you'll be able to do this. It's not how it works. But it's you going to get up tomorrow and make a choice. God, I'm going to give this sin that was done to me, these hurts that were put upon me, this pain that I have, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And then around 10 o'clock, you're going to have to stop again and say, God, I'm going to have to give this to you again. And maybe at 10:10, you're going to have to stop and you're going to have to say, God, I'm going to give this pain to you again because this is overwhelming my life and controlling my life and I can't carry it, but I know you can forgive it. And God, I'm going to give it to you again. And then at noon and maybe around 3 o'clock that afternoon. And I'm just promising you, the more you'll learn to deal with things God's way, and the more you'll learn to yield things to God His way, it's going to be the point to where the pain and the burden gets lighter and lighter and smaller and smaller. I remember, just an illustration, I'll be closed this evening. My brother, his oldest son, they had a real difficult thing that happened in their church. He shared this testimony with me. And his son was really difficult. It was a really difficult time for him. And the things that he was bearing, he just went to my... He showed up at the church one afternoon. He was about 17 years old. And he said, Dad, I just don't understand why God allowed this to happen. I can't get over it. And it's really bothering me. And he made the statement. He said, I don't know how I'm ever going to get past this in my life. Something had happened to him. And my brother took him outside. Jeshua, you know Jeshua. Some of you know Jeshua. And he took him outside and he took him over to a telephone pole. And he says, all right, I want you to tell me, is this, which pole is bigger, this pole that we're standing beside here or that pole over there? He said, I'm just telling you, just from your perception, right here, standing by this pole, is this one bigger than that one? And he said, well, I don't know. And he said, all right, let's go over and look at the other. So they went over and looked at the other pole. And he said, all right, from this pole here, which one is there? He said, well, when I was standing over by that pole, it looked like it was bigger. But now that I'm over by this pole, this one looks like it's bigger, right? And the reality is they were both the exact same size. They were. But when you move your perspective from one place to another, the size changed. And you could look down the street and you could look at the 100, however many poles you could see. And everyone further away gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And I'm just here to tell you that's exactly how life is. If you'll just keep walking with the Lord and you'll keep doing things God's way, that thing that seems so enormous to you is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller the closer you turn from it unto God. It's going to happen that way. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying the weight that it has in your life today and the pain and the burden that it is today can be greatly diminished if you'll learn to deal with things in God's way, choosing to do things God's way. And that begins with learning how to forgive God's way. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.